Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for your love and mercy, which is beyond our comprehension. Knowing, Lord, that you have already said that it would be, for I have not seen or heard, neither into the heart of man, the things you prepared for them, that you have revealed them by your Spirit, but in such a way that it is infinitesimal, it is merely potential according to what actually lies there. Yet every now and then we see, consider your grace and mercy in our own lives, and your gracious provision in all things. So we can thank you, Lord, that in it all, no matter what is happening, your faithfulness abides true, and what you have promised, you will perform, and it shall be seen. And we're just very grateful, Lord, that at that day when we see these great promises of God fulfilled, such promises, Lord, that we had a little inkling of and just could not really believe for them, and there they will be. And we know that there will not be a time of shamefacedness. We don't believe that's going to happen, Lord. It's just going to be element of surprise after surprise of the goodness of God. So we thank you, Lord, for your mercy and grace this morning. May we be like Jacob, who, when he thanked you for your goodness, your care, your provision, thank you above all for truth, which is what really matters today. So we pray, Lord, that we may be part of that truth, and our ears be able to hear and comprehend what lies therein, which is what lies within yourself. So we commend ourselves to you this morning and commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm just thinking, it was strange that you see me walking a little late. I think I'd have got here exactly on time, but the train kept me back 1 minute. I think I'd have made it. But that wasn't what stopped me getting here. I had so many phone calls to make to try to get some things ironed out for some people. I don't like being late, but if I am late, there's usually pretty good reason for it. One day I will be late, so if there's a late leave in, I'll be good. I read a little article in the Reader's Digest. It's so true that a fellow looked up under his cover. He looked up for the place he used to go to get his glasses, and he couldn't find it. It was under Vision Center. So he looked under government. Everything was center, you know. And then he's in the bowling alleys, recreation center. Well, he said, there's going to come a time when there's going to be a quote that'll end all quotes on centers, and that's when the mortuary is called Dead Center. And always somebody hits the nail right on the head. It's too bad the preachers don't. Like Brother Branham said, the Ten Commandments. He said, that's a whole lot better sermon than most preachers ever preached. I was about ready to quit right then. Of course, I was ready to quit a long time before then. So I want to let you know, it's always good to try to get the leading of the Lord. Before I left to go west, I had a date set up for the 29th, and I knew I should go on the 29th. And after I phoned and said, well, I don't think I can make it. What about an appointment later? They said, well, what it is, you get here in the morning at 7 o'clock and we'll work in any morning at all. So I said, that sounds great. And I went out there, and so I preached on Saturday night, and I won't tell you what my feelings were. It's all right. Everybody got a lot of help, but I've been too long in the ministry not to know certain things. And so it was all right. And next Sunday morning, I started to feel kind of funny. My eyes were going kind of funny. Felt kind of dead in the head, and I couldn't shake myself, and I preached Sunday night. It was all right. I got through with it because I'm pretty fair at concentrating on a subject. Started to get worse till Wednesday night. I don't know, my wife might have caught it, but I was ready to vomit or pass out in the pulpit, so I got out of there before I could finish my sermon. Thursday, time to go down to Mexico. I lay in the back seat of the car all day. Thursday, Friday, all day in the back seat of the car. Saturday, about the same thing, till about Monday, started to be a little better. And I'm trying to get across to you. The Lord lets you get a little feeling about a thing. Don't put it aside, because He'll let you do it. And you pay for it. You always pay for things, maybe not too seriously, but you just don't put aside the leading of the Lord. I should have been there. The 29th, that was the time, and I should have left earlier, and everything would have been much better, although I must admit everything worked out wonderfully because God's good and helped us anyway, but Everything can be that much better if you just will listen to the voice of the Lord. That's what really counts, what I really was leading up to with all these other little remarks, to get you in a good frame of mind. So next time you feel any leading, make sure that it's of the Lord, it's really a leading of the Lord, not something you want, and then you just go right ahead, and God will bless you. Now, this morning is the beginning of a series which I may not get to, second portion, for a long time, because hopefully I'll be gone again by next Sunday. I simply can't put meetings off and put them off and put them off. It's already the end of February. Easter coming right around the corner and things like that, which, you know, doesn't affect me. It's just a matter of a kind of a letting you know how the seasons are going. But we want to talk about the appearing and the coming of the Lord. And to do so, I'm going to recapitulate by going over material we took 3 years ago, which I'd be willing to bet $100 to a hole in a donut you haven't got it. You either forgot it by now. Things don't sink in. I mean, let's face it. And I'm going to read something that Brother Branham said here to start us off, and then we'll get into two or a couple of more sermons, hopefully, sometime down the road. And Brother Branham says here, in speaking in end-time evangelism, and I can't read too much because I've got just a small portion just written out here. It says here, they had a testimony that they said seeing the Lord, and the others didn't believe it. And he upbraided them because of the hardness of their heart. They didn't believe these people who had seen that he was not dead. He's alive. Same thing today. When you see his work. Now we know we have already seen and are witnessing the appearing of the Lord. Now remember, appearing and coming is two different words. To appear and then to come. Now is the appearing. He's already appeared in these last days right here with us in the last few years. Now it's the sign. The appearing is the sign of his coming. He's appearing in his church in the form of the Holy Spirit, showing that him, because people cannot do these things that you see the Holy Spirit doing. So that's the appearing of the Lord. Now remember, it's both places, appearing and coming. Now this is a most accurate statement, perhaps not couched in the most brilliant language, but absolutely, plainly, and perfectly put. Now, what we're going to do is go to the 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, which I took extensively as a preview almost 3 years ago to the date. And we're going to see here what is called the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ by every fundamental group and so-called group that's full of the Holy Ghost. And I say this not to mean that everybody believes it this way, but it is the majority opinion, which, of course, is always wrong. And you know that ever since the days of Noah. 8 people got saved, the rest died. And that shows the minority is very, very small. All right, verse 13, but I would not have you ignorant, 1 Thessalonians 4. Brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope, for if we believe Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring forth with him. The word is bring forth there, and I absolutely relate this to the opening of the seals where Jesus comes forth from the midst of the throne. Because they could not possibly come forth until after the opening of the seals and Christ coming forth. Now Christ is revealed at this time in the throne, in the midst of the throne, but he has not come forth. But there will be a coming forth. Not just that God brings forth the dead with him because Jesus was brought forth, but that is not so. It is also the bringing forth can only come at the time when Jesus is brought forth in the appearance. You follow me? Listen carefully to what I'm saying, because you're not going to get it otherwise or go over the tape. Now we go further. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, as thus said the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent. Now that word, the Latin word prevenio, which means to go before. Brother Branham used the word hinder, which is also perfectly fine, because it is true that there will be nothing in the living that will hinder the dead and so on. But really it means prevenio, which means to go before or to ascend up ahead of those that are in the ground. Where they shall, I'm the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, shall be caught up together meet in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we be with the Lord. Now, the original, let me just say this first, before I talk about the original. You will notice in here that it says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel trump of God. Now, then it says, after it says that he descends, will be caught up to meet him in the air. Now, the point is, what I want to look at is, if he has already descended, if he has already descended, see, then who is up there to get caught up to? You follow me? Read it again. We'll take our time. I'm going to cut the sermon any place I feel like cutting it, and we're going to go. I won't try to keep you too long. Let me look at this again. For at this we say, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. He's going to descend. He is talking about the living and the dead. And the dead will be rising here on the earth. So he's talking about Jesus descending. Then it says, we are going to be caught up to meet him. Now, if he's already descended, how are you going to get caught up to meet him? Now, the fundamentalists get around it very, very nicely, and I know there's some of you here this morning who were fundamental, and perhaps you're still fundamental because you haven't had the chance to think it out. And on the thought is simply this. They say, well, you see, he comes down so far and he stops. See? Then we get caught up after he stops. I would like you to prove it. Anybody can talk. And if I were as vulgar this morning as I usually am, I'd make some very pithy statements here. They'd be, as Mary said, really R-rated statements just to stir you. Because people cannot be stirred unless you either make them laugh or hit them with a 4x4 or you show stun them. Then they got to start thinking. I'd like you to prove it. You show me that he stops. Now, let's just go to the book of Ephesians. Let us see why the fundamentalist is nothing more than a funny mentalist. Pardon the expression, I don't want to get too crude. And no more got the Holy Ghost than ever. Or he'd know. Fourth chapter Ephesians. And I've gone over this many, many times with you, and there is no Trinitarian who doesn't understand this. Because it was a Trinitarian that showed me this. Now watch. The 8th verse, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Who? That's Jesus. Now watch. Now he that ascended on high. Now he that ascended, what is it? But he also descended first in the lowest parts of the earth. That's right. Jesus died, right? Then he rose again, right? Now watch the next verse. He that descended is the same also that ascended. So therefore, the one that came down was the one that went up. So therefore the Son of Man came down, took upon himself human flesh, died, went into hell, rose again, came back. Now how did he come back? It's the Holy Ghost. Now you got rid of one God right there. God the what? The Son. No? God the Holy Spirit. Right? Simple as ABC. Any Trinitarian knows this, and why are they Trinitarians? Why does Vincent remain a Trinitarian when I have Vincent's volume on this? He said he came back as the Holy Ghost. Vincent killed one God, just like that, but he still got three. Now we just got to go to the Bible and hit the Bible just the way the Bible hits us. There's no use kidding. We got the same thing right here. I want to ask you a question. Is Jesus up there? What is he? Certainly. The body was raised as a memorial. What is it? The 8th Psalm, and they said, who is this? He lifts up your head, he gets everlasting doors, and let the King of Glory come in. Who is he? Jesus.
Jesus, a man resurrected, is up there in the midst of the throne pleading for you and me. He is a man.
I want to preach on Jesus, my Jesus is a man, one day to just clear the atmosphere, because I'm sick and tired of all this crud they preach about him and all the junk they preach about Brother Branham. I want to get it where it belongs, with the word of Almighty God, because I love Jesus. I'm depending on Jesus. And if he's shot, then I'm finished. And if he's misplaced and I've misplaced him, I'm finished. Because you don't tamper with God. Now he's up there in human form. But he's here in the Holy Spirit. Now there's a big difference between being here in the Holy Spirit as the Father of all creation and as the Father of individual human beings by rebirth. We'll hit that later on. We're going back to 1 Thessalonians again. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Then there has got to be a time concerning the scripture that says, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, you sore not as them which have the hope. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring forth with him. Now, and then it says that they will not go up ahead of us. So he's talking, as I mentioned 3 years ago, he is telling what is going to happen at the time of a certain coming of Jesus concerning the living and the dead upon this earth when they mingle right together. And Jesus is going to be there. And they're going to be caught up to meet him to be there. See? Now what Jesus is here and what Jesus is there. Ephesians told you. What if you see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? Father, glorify me as the glory I had before the beginning of the world. See, put your scripture together, it all lines up. So therefore there is an appearing. And the appearing is not the coming. Part of it precedes it. Okay, we understand this much. So now we're going to look at the word, and it says, remain unto the coming of the Lord. And the word coming is not coming. Any more than that grand piano is a horse or a tractor. Or one of your silos is full of corn. It's not a bird feeder. Piano, right? This word coming is not coming, period. It is not coming by any stretch of the imagination whatsoever. Because it is the word parousia, which means presence. And it is not the event of the arrival or the exact time the person came, but the person having come, the same person is here, remaining present for an extended period of time, and perhaps never even leaving. So it has nothing to do with coming. Leave, it is not coming. He has already come. He is present. The word present has nothing to do with the time of my arrival. It is a specific word focusing entirely upon the fact of the person being there. I don't care if he came by dog sled or by airplane or by a car or by a train. Or if he dropped through the ceiling. Or if he materialized. He's there. Present. So the Lord himself is going to be present with the sleeping that are no longer sleeping and with the living that are already there. Now why don't they read it right? You know why they don't dare read it right? Because they're going to say, oh no, how does this happen? We don't got no theology to explain it. None of our preachers ever said it. Well, fine, I'll take you to where it's found in Scripture. I'll take you to where some people had the guts to say. What about this? Okay. Old Vine says this word is so peculiar, it's a pity anybody ever translated it. They just say Prusa and then go to the Greek and find what it means and say, hey, that's strange. The Lord's going to be present. Right away, they're going to say that, but he always was present. Always the same old story. Man never lets his mind go to find out what the Word of God really says. I'd glad to see it. I can preach rough and hard because he had a vindicated prophet. You think I'd preach this way without I'm standing on something solid? Come on. I'd be worse than a dead fundamentalist. No more guts than a rubber chicken. Come on, I say, I'm not up here bold and brave because Lee Dale knows something. Hey, kid yourself. I don't preach it because I know anything. I'm not smart, but I ain't stupid. The person, Rotherham, says this word cannot be interpreted, but must be left until God himself does it. Then we'll know what it is. Yeah. Rotherham. He was full of the Holy Ghost. The rest of them. So was Vincent. He said, how could a man like those fellows be full of the Holy Ghost and be so wrong in their doctrines we know it today? Because it wasn't the hour. Look, if you don't know something, you're not going to be held accountable. It's when you face it and walk away is when you're accountable. See? You could do a lot of things in this life. A lot of people, some of you right now are doing wrong things. And you don't understand what you should be doing. God will reveal it to you, or you'll pay a little price, but they won't meet you down the road. It'll be under the blood. Boys, when you turn on the light, when you refuse to bring it to the light. See? Why do you think women today turn down the fact of the way our women dress? They don't dare bring it to the light because they're going to be condemned. There is no place they can turn and hide when you bring it to the light, so they just turn and walk right away from the light. Why do you think homes are being split left and right? They've always been split in the message and the Word of God of the hour. Don't think that we're unique here. They split in Luther's day. They split in Wesley's day. They all were split. You know why? Because three people can't sleep in a bed. Just as soon as a woman's born again, there's three in a bed. There's Jesus there too. And I'm not talking on a carnal sense. I'm just telling you, in a plain flat sense, there's another presence there. And if a man gets born again, the woman isn't born again, that third person. And that woman will hate that man if she's not born again. And that man will hate that man if he's not born again. You don't have to set a plate at your table and say, the unseen guest is Jesus. And put a chair there. He's there anyway. See? You don't want to bring it to the light. Start bringing things to light, it's a different matter entirely. Now, Rotherham says here that we got to wait until God himself brings it into view, then we'll know what it is. That's right. That's the way Revelation always is, the apocalypse, which I won't talk about this morning, that's another message. It's something that's under a cover, like the sculptor. He's been sculpting, and now he's got this beautiful piece of work, and it's veiled, and nobody can see it, but suddenly he pulls the string, and here it is. Nobody knew what it was going to be. It was a piece of marble, a piece of rock, a piece of granite or something. But he was working behind curtains. And one day he pulled the string, and said, there it is. That's what this is all about. This word coming. The word coming means presence. For the Lord himself shall descend him with a shout. The Lord shall be present. That's where we get the understanding of the word appearing, which I will discuss with you so you'll understand later, but not this morning, exactly what that is all about. See? Because you just simply cannot bandy words and get away with it and say, this is the appearing. If this is the appearing, tell me about it. See? Well, they say, well, I can tell you what the appearing is, you see, Brother Vale, what it is that Jesus comes down partway, you know, he comes screaming out of heaven, you're like a madman. And before he gets down here, he stops, and he raises the dead, and he blows a big trumpet, womp, 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 and then we come up to meet him. Have it your way. But what about this word presence? Because if he's there, and I'm here, then there's no presence.
They say, well, Brother Dale, that has to do with, you see, he's always present. Hogwash. Then if he's always present, he's always there. And there's a resurrection going on all the time. Huh? Well, come on. Well, is it right or wrong? Come on, let's get our thinking caps on and just see what we're into if we believe all this hogwash that's increased all these years. And don't stand with the vindicated prophet standing there and say, thus saith the Lord, and every time he said it came right to pass. Stand there in every meeting and say, we'll ask him to come. And then say, he's here. And then say, Hebrews 4 and 12 and 13 go into effect, which no other person could ever begin to effect. Let me read what Hebrews 4 and 12 and 13 is. You begin to understand. I don't want to get ahead of myself here, it's easy, because I'm not watching my notes. If I don't watch my notes, I can get ahead of myself in 3-6 hours. Man, my stomach can't stand that. It was a late breakfast this morning. My head couldn't stand it either, so let's get that straight. I know what I'm talking about. Listen, I can preach these sermons 10, 12, 14, 16 times in a row and just begin to understand what I'm saying. Or hundreds of scriptures begin flashing in a dovetailing until there's nothing left out. All right, for the word of God is quick and powerful. Now, the word of God is quick and powerful. What are you talking about? The word of God. Okay, let's find out what it is pretty soon. Sharpen any two-edged sword, piercing even divine asunder soul and spirit, joint and marriage, discerning thoughts, intents, hearts, and neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his, not it, but his sight. And what's the word of God? Of Jesus Christ. See? All right, Brother Brown stood in that crowd and he said, you couldn't hide if you tried. You know what? Some of you sitting here, you don't know what I'm talking about. You don't even begin to know what I'm talking about. You couldn't hide if you tried. I sat in the car one day with him and he said, you're talking about this fellow, this Church of Christ guy that came and said, Brother Brown knocked on his door and he said, I'd come collect $1,000. What do you mean $1,000? Well, he said, you offered anybody could prove a miracle that God healed, they'd get $1,000. And as he's telling the story, he suddenly stopped and said, hold it. He said, you just thought at this second that God had said that. It was I who said it. In other words, I thought that God had told him to say a certain thing. And God hadn't. He said it on his own. Caught it just like that. You couldn't hide if you tried. He said, I'm going to go to that meeting. And I'm going to check him. Church of Christ man up here went to Windsor out of Detroit. And Brother Brown, you know the story, very tired that night. And the man appeared. And Brother Brown said, sir, there's not a thing wrong with you. Open, he said, there is. He said, didn't you read the prayer card? And Brother Brown said, sir, the prayer card is only numbered. So you get in the prayer line, we have order. He said, perhaps everything you had was healed because of your faith. And then the man muttered something, I forget the exact words, and something like, oh, so that's how somebody said, what did you say? Oh, he said, you're a Church of Christ preacher from Detroit. You had an elder sit in your study. It's a wooden table with a green cover on it. And you determined to see if you could defraud God and fool me. And you put all those diseases, he said, sir, the diseases you put down are now in your body. I don't think I like eating paper, but I'll start now. I challenge all of you. Bring me one person that can do it. And I'll eat this Bible. Bring me your Baptist, your Methodist, your Fundamental, your Pentecost, your Trinitarian, your Oneness. Bring me one person. You say William Branham did that? Hogwash. There's no man living can do that. Only God can do it by using a vessel. That man I was telling you about. Now get the trend of my thought. He said, we'll ask him to come. We don't know if he will. Then he says, he's here. And you couldn't hide if you tried. He said, 5,000 people, 500,000 people. And we're going to go, now I want you to, I'm doing this on purpose so that you will remember the places exactly. Luke 13 and 1. There were Perusia. Now let's read that coming. There was a time coming at the season, some people told him, of the Galileans whose blood pilot wouldn't mingle with their sacrifices. Ha, we got a witch doctor here who can tell the future. Or a prophet. Well, let's use the word cunning. So either the prophet or the witch doctor, and I know a little bit about both, being a witch doctor myself,
and then the prophet.
Oh, yeah.
The word is present, not coming.
You're already there. And nobody was saying, did you notice that gang arrived? They were coming round the mountain when they came. They were driving 6 white horses when they came. And we killed the old red rooster when they came.
You're not getting what I'm ridiculing. I'll explain it to you. They never saw them come. They didn't know how they came. They weren't interested how they got there. They were all ears.
He killed them when they were sacrificing to God?
Yeah, we escaped. Then you might say, how'd you get away? They were present.
You follow me? They were present. Don't get all mixed up this morning and say, well, Brother Vale, how do I know? I haven't got that far yet. The orientation of this subject demands a complete acceptation of the fact that he is present. He is present, he is present. Whether he is present now or not, he will be present. And that presence is necessary. In the Holy Spirit. So that you'll see him there. Whatever dimension is. No, I don't worry about this, that, here, there, because it's all a dimension anyway. All right. We go to John 11 and 28. And hopefully I will not be as rotten, but hopefully I might be too. For it says in the 28th verse, and when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister, saying, I have just had a revelation. Jesus is coming. Actually, the word is come is okay because it really means his presence. She said, did you know that Jesus is here? So how did you know? I saw him. Did you see him come? No, I didn't even know anything. The dogs didn't bark. The chickens didn't cackle. The roosters didn't crow. The ducks didn't coo. There was nothing to let me know. I just had a feeling. I opened the door. There you were. Or I heard that knock over the door. There you were. Now she said, the master has come. It may have been that didn't happen that way at all. She was grieving in one room. Her sister was in another room. And somebody came in the door and said, hey, it's too bad word got too late to Jesus. But he's here now and he wants to talk to you. Now, the point is, she didn't say, well, why was he so many days late? Where was he in the meantime? That did come up in the conversation. Lord, if you had been here, he hadn't died. So she was saying, it's just too bad, you know, that you weren't around when we really need you. Oh, that's a good thought, isn't it? That makes you think, doesn't it? How many times have we said, where were you, Lord, when I needed you? Where were you looking? Yeah. All depends on where you're looking, kiddo. There's never any trouble with Jesus. The master is present. He's here. He arrived. Then get this one in Acts 10 and 33, which is the one I love. And you love it too because it's telling you everything I've been telling you. And this is when Simon Peter goes down Peter goes down to Simon the Tanner. They're both Simons. One's Peter, one's a Tanner. Verse 33, immediately therefore I sent to thee. And thou hast well done that thou art come, that you're here present. Now, therefore, we are all here present before God. And if the Holy Ghost is here in a peculiar certain form, then we are all present with God being present. See? Okay. Let's just check further. 1 Corinthians 16, just to show you how this works every single time, there is no difference. 16 and 17, I am glad of the coming of Stephanas. Why, he wasn't glad. He was happy the boy was coming. I'm going to get right down to human emotions again. As I say, I'm kind of nuts, I admit it. My wife comes up the stairs and she still makes my heart go pity, pity, pat. What for, I don't know. It's a very fact she's around, but it was worse even years ago. Maybe I'd be on the road somewhere, and maybe she could have time to come fly down or something. You know, we had a family to raise, everything else. And boy, I was trying to think, she's coming. So one of them got there, and I could put my arms around it. Oh, that's sure a difference, I'll tell you right there. That's the way it was with this fella here. You think that Papa was glad he was coming? Sure he was, but nothing like when the boy got there. That was his son in the faith. I've got sons in the faith and daughters in the faith and grandkids. That's one reason I would try to live right, a little bit at least. Thinking of them. Now, we get another verse here. And I just want to correct my wife now. Don't get too happy because I like to tease you. It's a good thing she can take the teasing, right? Didn't have someone to tease you. It'd be an awful life. Now, let's see. There was another one here somewhere, but I sort of lost it, but it doesn't matter that much anyway. Yeah, it's over here. 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, 6 and 7. She knows everything I give with my left hand, I take away with my right hand. I'm known as a left-hand compliment giver. All right. But I do you the same way, so it's okay. You've got nobody's got any tips. See, if y'all like what you're doing. 6 and 7, nevertheless. That God that comforted those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. Not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you. There again, you notice it was the fact of him being present. You can all, like they said, now, Brother Vale, we know you're coming because you haven't got here yet. Then you knew that's beautifully put. It's so nice and sarcastic. So gently sarcastic, because some places I'm overdue 4 years, 5 years, 10 years, and 14. I'm a liar, you can tell that. Of course, I never did set a date, so I'm not that big a liar. So I'm still coming. Now look, the thing is, it's not the fact of the approach which could be deferred, as hope deferred is a grievous thing. But the fact is, the boy was there. See? That's exactly what we're talking about. And this is something that is known. Not guessed at, but is known. And in each time, something occurs which is beneficial in the ministry concerning Christ and those in the ministry. And I'm not talking about a five-fold ministry. I'm talking about every single one of us, because we're all priests and kings unto God. You following? Okay, very good. Now, what I'm presenting here, of course, is the only true revelation from the first century, or the first age when this got lost, as to what exactly the scripture was teaching concerning the fact of the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is the revealed teaching of a vindicated prophet who cried screaming. I'm not riding the midnight trial screaming he's coming. He's already come. The same prophet said, when you see God come from the heavens, when you see God come from heaven, when you see, stand before groups of men, stand there and declare himself just as ever he did. That's the truth in this Bible open. Now put that together with what he said concerning the angel coming to Gabriel, or Gabriel coming to Daniel. You can see exactly what he's saying here. That as it happened in the close of the Jewish history, the last prophet Daniel, because that's the last one, he laid it all out. I don't care who followed after him, that's nothing. They just filled in here and filled in there, see? The same thing happens at the end time. Now let's face it, there's only one time it can happen, and that's in the seventh church age, under the seventh church age messenger. Couldn't happen anywhere else. Now, you see God just come from the heavens, stand before groups of men, stand there and declare himself just as he did. Even just as ever he did, that's the truth in this Bible open. I want to ask you a question. When did God ever come down from heaven, stand before groups of men, and declare himself in the person of Jesus Christ? See? When did he do it before? In the person of Melchizedek. When did he do it before? In the person of a theophany, when he stood to Abraham and told him what's going to happen down in Sodom and Gomorrah. See? When did he do it? A time when the handwriting went upon the wall at Belshazzar's feast, and they said, bring in Daniel. And the hand stood there, a hand appeared. God came down in a hand, the form of a hand. God came down in a whirlwind. God came down in a fire. God came down in a still small voice. God came down in an earthquake. God came down in the back of a man. God came down in a man. And people say, God can't come down. What are you talking about, say you believe the Bible? Well, I mean, what are you talking about, say you believe the Bible? You believe a bunch of nincompoops out here that talk about the Bible. And if he came down, he came down. What's to stop him putting a handwriting on that wall? I say, what's to stop him? I'll tell you, unbelief. If nobody believes, he'll do it. Nobody wants to do, wants to believe it. My judges. Brother Branham didn't know the Greek. Listen. And today he's standing amongst us. That means present. Today he's present, standing amongst us, in the person of the Holy Ghost, manifesting himself more and more, coming into the church, making himself known. Now I want to ask you a question. What way has God used since the death of Jesus Christ to reveal himself? The Holy Ghost. Is that right? He said he would teach you all things and show you things to come. And the things to come is definitely in the line of a prophet. It is not for the average person to know. It has got to be in the prophetic line. So let's get that flat. People say, well, Brother Bill, I've got the Holy Ghost. He'll show me things to come. Sure, he'll show you if Minnie's going to come and visit you. He'll show if you're going to have a stomach ache. He'll show if your kid's going to get hurt. But he will not show you the revealed word of that hour because that's something special. You don't belong in that class. I don't belong in that class. I'll teach you when it gets there. You bet that's my job then. I've got lots of things I prophesied. Come right to pastors like that. Ray knows it. Happened down the church in West Palm Beach all the time. We had definitive messages from God, but not this. The Son of Man has already come from glory. Notice the terminology. The Son of Man has already come from glory. Well, great Caesar's ghost. Why would the prophet make a statement like that? As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. The Bible says. He has already come from glory, revealing himself for the past few years in his church in mercy, showing them his great presence. Why did he say his great presence? Why did he say his great miracles, his great ministry? He doesn't say presence. Why? Because if he's got the same Holy Ghost talking to him that talked to the Apostle Paul, he will say the same thing, and he'll say it in 20th century America. They understood Paul back there. That was a cuneiform Greek. Stonesy, one of the rottenest birds living. That Jew that wrote the Passover plot and all that kind of stuff. Brilliant man. Get his New Testament, though. He's a scholar through and through. And he'll tell you the Bible is right. It's one of the best translations I ever got my hands on. You got two of them. I like one so well, and mislaid about another one. Or did I like it so well, I bought two in case I lost one. I guess that was it. He said the language of the Bible is perfect. You can like a guy no matter what he says and does if you see his good points. Brother Branham is right. I can't get mad at the guy because, he says such awful things about Jesus. I never saw him on the Joe Pine show, but a friend of mine, Joe Pine's been dead a long time now. But Joe Pine had him. Then, Pine was wrong the way he conducted himself. America is the land of the great sneer, and I'm kind of bad, but mine's mostly sarcasm, not a real sneer. And if God's got a real sneer, may God forgive me, because I'm a hypocrite to do that. But when they tell me Schoenfield was on his show, that Pine sneered and just gave him the works, and he just sat there very nice and very calm and smiled and just answered the questions. I wonder who had more from God. The man that said it was a Passover plot or the man that defended it? I don't know. Well, I would say I would hope that Joe Pine had a lot more than the other fellow did, but then who knows, the guy might be saved yet. He did a good job in the New Testament. You never know. He might be one of the elect to come in later. I don't know. I have no understanding. Brother Branham used 20th century American language. He said, the Son of Man has already come from glory, and he's revealing himself for the past few years to his church in mercy. Isn't that beautiful? Mercy. Showing them his great presence, doing the same things he did when he was on earth. You see, he explains the presence, how you know it's there. Revealing himself like he did to Abraham before the destruction. When God comes down from heaven, stands before men. Declare himself as ever he did. The next time he reveals himself, it will be in judgment on the world and nations that forgot God. There he is in the human flesh. There he is here in no flesh. We'll show you how it's the word before it's over. The headship is here. Amen. The Christ, the risen Lord. It's here in the same power of his resurrection that he ever was, manifesting himself. Now we know that Christ is here. Maybe you don't see him with your eyes, but through vision I tell you he's here, because he could see the pillar of fire. He was actually caught by the camera. And when the seals are broken, the mystery is revealed. Down comes the angel, the messenger Christ, setting his foot on land and sea with a rainbow over his head. That's Revelation 10:1 now, remember? Now remember, the seventh angel is on earth at his coming. That's the Revelation 10:7 is the last eighth messenger. The seventh seal brings him back to earth. It's under the seventh seal that brings him back to earth. Now he's talking in both places. That means the spirit and the physical. Because the seventh seal was silenced, no one knew that was the minute and or hour that Christ would come as he would reveal it to us. And so therefore the seals revealed everything about him who was already here, and we didn't even know he was here. Until we were told. Did Mary know that he was there till Martha said? No. Did she know what somebody said? No. Nobody knew. And nobody can know unless somebody tells, because you cannot see the Spirit of God. After almost 2,000 years, God has visited again. That brings the entire fullness of the Godhead bodily among you. In other words, the same yesterday, today, and forever. No change. The Elijah of this day is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is to come according to Luke 17:30, that's the Son of Man. He's the Son of Man that's to reveal himself among his people. Not a man, God, but it will come through a prophet. Just as Gabriel came to Daniel. In other words, we are not left to know this ourselves. It will take somebody to do it and to point it out. And I've done that many times and showed you how that works in Scripture. We'll do it again before we're through here. The headstone coming into the body. That's the Redeemer coming to take his own. He is here with us, present. That life is present here tonight. That's right. The Holy Spirit is here. It is Christ in spirit form, his spirit. The anointing is here. How it said that he shall appear in the last days is to bring the people back to the word, so the bride will know her husband, her mate, the revealed word. Now, I know everybody thinks you're going to get married when you get there. That's the supper. That's not the marriage. The marriage is here. The invisible union. Why do you think he's here? For his bride. When this Holy Spirit that we have, now listen, when this Holy Spirit that we have becomes incarnate to us, not incarnated in the individual, but incarnate to us, the one that's in our midst now, in the form of the Holy Ghost, becomes incarnate to us in the presence of the person of Jesus Christ, we'll crown him King of Kings. So he does come down to earth in a spirit form. But he stays there in his body. That is, the body stays there. And when the dead are to come forth, then he leaves the midst of the throne. It's over. Because there's nobody else coming in. Now that's when he, in the personal, human, immortal figure, is up there. Then we rise to meet him. Does all three things in descending. The shout, the voice, the trumpet. Now, Brother Branham categorically said, he which hinder will hinder be taken out of the way with the Holy Spirit. The question now comes, how can a prophet make a statement like that when everybody knows 144,000 Jews are going to be sealed in with the Holy Ghost, and you cannot take the Holy Ghost out of the world per se for to fall apart? You talk about the person that came down here goes because he takes his bride with him. See? Certainly. There's a big difference. You've got to understand where Scripture lies. Don't be weary. Jesus is here. He is here today manifesting himself, doing the same he did, same things he did. No, doing the same he did then. Don't be weary. Jesus is here. He is here today manifesting himself, doing the same he did then, just the same, doing the very same thing. In other words, what he did then, he's doing now. And is amongst us today. He showed himself here with us and proved and vindicated his word. Now let's just begin to see what he's saying here, which is our proof that he's here. How do you know he's here if you can't see him? What about the fact he said the wind blows where it listeth? That's the wrong translation, although it's good in the sense the word wind blows is that you can hear the sound of where it cometh. You can't hear it go, but that's not the scripture. The Spirit breathes where he willeth. And you cannot tell whence he cometh and whither he goeth. So is everyone born of the Spirit. It is a mystery. Now, the only way you can solve any mystery of God is to find out how God himself has given us the clue to the mystery. And that means you've got to go to the Word. So Brother Branham is telling us right here, vindicating his Word. In the evening time it shall be light. That's when comes Christ, the Holy Spirit. Jesus comes down and sets himself at the head of the church. Now then, how can he say, then comes Christ the Holy Spirit and call him Jesus? Because that's the name of the Holy Ghost. You're going to call his name Jesus. Then he will resurrect the church, being his own body. That's right, the Holy Spirit is here. It's Christ in spirit form, his Spirit anointing him. See? That's the teaching of the former, the early, and the latter rain. Now, going on, we're going to take some verse of Scripture that has always been used to express the sudden coming of the Lord and has nothing to do with that coming that they talk about, but has to do with his presence here. So, we're going to go now to Matthew 24. And you should all recall this even though you heard it 3 years ago. Or, my goodness me, we have to go over our notes, don't we? Matthew 24. Now, Lord, it's the first, third verse. And he sat upon the Mount of Olives. And the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us when shall these things be. Number two. And what shall be the sign of thy presence? Not coming. The word is not coming. It's parousia. How are we going to know when you're here? Now, they knew something that the theologians don't know today. And they knew it because they weren't a bunch of dumb bunnies. And I want to tell you why they weren't a bunch of dumb bunnies. Because John the Baptist came on the scene and they said, hey, you must be the Christ. He said, hold it. I am not the Christ, but there standeth one among you who is. Well, who is he? I don't know. But God told me how I would know. He said, you go baptize him. And you just keep baptizing and baptizing. And one day there's going to be somebody come, and when he comes up out of the water, you are going to see the Holy Spirit descending like a dove and remaining on him. Now that always comes like a pillar of fire. So the fiery dove came down, beautiful dove of fire just came down. And he said, that's the one. The disciples knew that. They knew it would take somebody to point out what was already there, because they couldn't see it. Remember the time of Gehazi? Was it Gehazi and Elijah? And Elijah, the Syrians were all around him, and so God let the Syrians catch up to poor old Elijah, and Gehazi opened his eyes. The old master, what, 200,000 Syrians out there. Oh, master, what do we do? They finally caught us. And Gehazi said, oh, God, what have I picked up, a turnip or a Christian? Has this kid been with me so long, he still can't figure anything out? He said, Lord, just have pity one more time and open his eyes so he can see there's more with us than with them. And pretty soon the kid's eyes opened, the mountains were full of the chariots and horsemen of fire of Almighty God.
ready to faint. So, runs true to form. I'm sure glad I didn't write the Bible. I enjoyed preaching it. Man, I'm sure glad I didn't write it. I'd be on the spot. I don't even have to back it up either. God backs his own word up. Tell us the sign of your presence. See, they knew that he was going to be there and nobody would know it and they wouldn't know it. Now listen, you think this might have happened after John 20? Let's go to John 20. I just suddenly got a thought here. It might be interesting. verse 4, John 20. And when morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, and they saw him. They didn't know it was Jesus. And Jesus said, he got any meat? And they said, no, and they still didn't know it was Jesus. He said, cast your net in the right side of the ship, and you'll find. And you know something? How come they didn't say, what kind of a nut is that anyway? We've been fishing all night long, and as Dr. Price said, how wide is a boat? 4 feet? There's no fish 4 feet here, and there's fish 4 feet here? Ha! Say, well, we won't do that. We'll just move the boat. We'll join another church. I'll run over here. You know, a lot of little things come up to you, hit your mind if you just, you know. And you'll find that they cast therefore, and they couldn't draw it in for a multitude. And Peter said, that's God. Now they looked right at him and didn't recognize him. They only knew him by what he did. So therefore they knew him by the sign. So now the apostles, they're not all fucked up. They said, hey, we're onto this, how you work things out and how you do things. You know something? Hold it. Again, my memory's lousy. I might have to call on Ray if I can't find this. If his memory's as bad as mine, then we're stuck and I've got to ask somebody who's really smart. Verse 7 of Psalm 103. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. They never ever caught on how God did things. Never ever caught on. Never learned his ways. All this, and God didn't pick up a bunch of flukes when he picked up these apostles. He picked up some real sharpies. They weren't even full of the Holy Ghost, and they came by and said, hey, how are we going to know you when you're there? See, he must have told them something. In fact, he did. They caught on to Acts 17 right off the bat. You and I take 2,000 years. They caught it just like that. They said, hey, how are you going to know? How are you going to know? You're here. See, let me go back to Matthew 24. Here we are. We keep reading. And Jesus said, I'm going to take heed that no man deceive you. Now, right off the bat. Deception. Right off the bat, he equates his presence with deception. Oh, my. How are we going to know then, Lord? How are we going to know? You really made it tough on us now. Take heed that no man. You catching what I'm saying? Man. Men will try anything. So therefore, there's got to be a certain way that only God is going to make known certain things. See, that's what I'm standing on this morning. I maintain certain things that only William Branham can do, nobody else can do, and I'll live or die in it. And I expect to have no trouble. Many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now, many people I know come right along and they try to brand that as a false little cults and religions today, which in a sense is you know, a little bit true, but it's not all true because we'll show you why. Many will come in my name, you'll notice, and you'll hear wars and rumors of wars. Don't be troubled. These things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Nation rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, famine, pest, earthquake, and direst places. These are the beginning of sorrows. Now, he's telling you the earmarks of when he is going to be there. But you won't see him.
but he's there. Now, they would be afflicted and so on. Many betrayed, false, many false prophets deceived, many love iniquity bound. Iniquity shall abound, love many shall wax cold. That's Laodicea. But they that endure to the end of the saints, be saved. The gospel of the king must be preached as a witness, and then the end shall come. Now, he's done a lot of things in there. Then he's getting very, very close now. When you see there for the abomination and desolation spoken to Daniel, then in Judea flee the mountains, let them not come down, and so on. Some of this took place already, and some that is yet to take place, because the great tribulation, verse 21, has not yet taken place. The little tribulation took place. Except those days be shortened, no flesh save the elect's sake, they should be shortened. Now watch. We are now dealing with what hinges on you and me. Now he said, take heed, no man deceive you, many shall come. Now the very elect. Now the very elect can only be one type of elect. Those that do not die. The only ones that can be. Then if any man shall say, lo, here is Christ, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and show great signs and wonders, insomuch where prophets shall see the very elect. Behold, I told you before. Now, before is over here in Matthew chapter 7. Verse 15, beware of false prophets come to you in sheep clothing, in ravening wolves. He tells you at the end time. Now, watch what I said here. Verse 15, now let me go back to Matthew 24 again, and let me read that verse I just read to you. And it said, take heed no man deceive you. Deception by men. Beware of false prophets. They will look absolutely on the outside to be Christians. Inside, they are devils. How are we going to know? Going to know them by fruit. Now, oh man, oh man. I love the way Jesus talks, but he would never pass out of grade 6. He makes people animals and then suddenly talks about fruit. How do you get fruit off of animals? No, he's not doing that. He's going way back to the garden. He always took people back to the garden. You'll know them by their fruits. The men gather grapes, the thorns, the figs, the thistles. Every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. What is the evil fruit? The knowledge of good and evil. Knowledge of good and evil is a mixture. It's a mixture. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, cast the fire. Therefore, by the fruits you know them. Now watch. Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, and the King of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will come in that day and say, Lord, Lord, we not prophesied in thy name, cast out devils in thy name, done wonderful works. And I'll profess, I never knew you. You did nothing but iniquity. Now that's what he's talking about, where deception lies, right in that field. And only the very elect will be able to tell what is a real sheep and what is simply a wolf in sheep clothing. Now the question comes up. Let's go back to Matthew 25 to look at the question again, because we don't want to get all fooled up, fouled up here. It's too late in the day to get fouled up. And in Matthew 24, it says here, reading again, if any man shall say, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christ, even lying prophets. That's exactly what the Greek says. Now listen, lo here, lo there, false prophets. It isn't the prophet that says, I'm Jesus Christ. No, that's not the thing to be worried about. You say you're Jesus Christ, they put him in the nut house. What is a false prophet? He's off the word. But boy, can he prophesy. But he's just one stumbling stone. If he ever says, thus saith the Lord, it can't possibly come to pass unless God's behind it. And that's the only, this is what the very elect see. Nobody else can see it. They still go around saying, well, this fellow said, thus saith the Lord. That fellow said, thus saith the Lord. If anybody ever says, thus saith the Lord, and comes to pass, you better hear him. And then if he says, contrary to what William Branham said, you better raise William Branham to find out if he is false or what's false. And I wouldn't even worry about God anymore. I'd just say, well, look, there's something out there. Forget it. See, look, we're down to the wire, brother, sister. Either this word is true all the way, or we might as well forget it. We're here this morning either because it's real, or we're here this morning just for fun, to be little nicer people, which is very good. Because if you're little nicer people, little sweeter, little gentle, then there's something out there that really matters. There's something out there that's moral, though I wouldn't call it moral if you pulled a deal like this. You're just stuck. So you better say to yourself, let me try to get in touch somewhere so I won't be half as stuck as bad, you know, if I'm going to be stuck. You follow what I'm talking about? I mean, we're at the deadline. We're at the end of time, according to this Bible here. Now it says, therefore, if they say unto you, behold, in the desert, go not forth, in the secret chamber, believe it not. Well, look.
How much time we got? No time at all. No time at all. No time at all. No, see, Luke. Don't say stick him to me because I'm going to quit. I'm going to quit because I want to quit. Let me see if I can find it. I've got to find it somewhere. Yes. In Luke 2:30. Listen. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast ordained before the face of all people, witness before the eyes of all men. So when somebody says, go here, it's a secret thing. Go there, that's the little sector there. Forget it. It's going to be done wide open and in public. And the world's going to see it. And it's going to be turning down fast. And they're going to forget it. And the elect goes on. You say that that happened, William Branham. Listen, kid, I am witness to what I saw in 1947, 1 year after the great angel of God came and said, take a message of healing to gift of healing to the whole world, and told him what it was all about. And I saw, and let me tell you, was not done in a corner. The newspapers played it up. There was no way you could ever stop the African revival. Everybody knew about it. There's no way you could ever deny what happened. But the denomination said, well, he, Jesus, owned it. He'd go to those stinking Pentecostals. Well, I'm going to tell you, Pentecostal folk may stink, but I do too. Yes, I take a bath. I think they're a pretty good bunch. I still say, Brother Brown, that's where I'd go if I had no place else to go. I just wouldn't imbibe in their doctrines and things, but let me tell you, Brother Sitter. Now, listen, here he said, in the secret chamber. That's where three people go together and come on and tell you just what. In other words, Nicolaitanism is at the highest height at this period right here, and they're going to decide everything for you. Oh, you talk about the Constitution and freedom of religion. Why don't the people down in our Congress and Senate have the guts to rip it out and spit on it? Bunch of rotten, stinking hypocrites. That's all our governors, a bunch of rotten, stinking hypocrites. There's no freedom of religion today. Except in a very minor sense. Your biggest guy that talked the most, like Goldwater, he's the guy that had that thing enacted way up in Alaska. Hundreds of thousands of acres of putting nuts like you and me. And Congress denied it. Until they found oil. And they said, you can't put them nuts where the oil is. So it came out in the open. Why is your daughter news over the kibbutz? I'm just telling you. Politics is finished. Amen. And so is the church. This thing is done eyewitness before the people. I was there. I saw what happened. Now listen. For as lightning cometh out of the west, and shineth, east rather, and shineth the west, so shall also the presence of the Son of Man be. It tells you right there, as the light was in the east, it will be in the west. And that's how you will know that he is there, because he does the same things here that he did there. For the scripture distinctly said, if I had not done the works no other man did, they had not sinned. But now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. The presence. The same presence of the four Gospels and the book of Acts must appear in the west. And you'll know that he is here. Not the church now. Not the church. Not the church. Not the church. Hang the church. Somebody. Jesus didn't have a company of men. He was one. When Brother Branham used the term, there's only been one major prophet of time, he wasn't really right at that time, because I think Daniel and Jeremiah were alive at the same time. But what he was trying to tell everybody, look, you get your eyes on one man at a time. It is never a company. One person at a time. Now, then notice, wherever the carcass is, the eagles are gathered. Where the word is, where the fresh wheat, where what God is feeding us is. Then it says, immediately. Immediately comes the tribulation. Now, Ray, if you go out and order lunch for 30, 40 people, 50 people, tell him to bring it here in 2 hours, will he? Then we'll keep talking. I don't know where to quit, so let me see now. The lightning cometh, the eagles are gathered, and ye are. You have tribulation. Now listen, come on. My thoughts are okay. They're in line. It's okay. Listen. Second chapter of the book of Acts. It shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons, your daughters prophesy, your men, young see vision, you men see, all men dream dreams, and on my men servants, and on my women servants, I'll pour my spirit. Everybody can get in the act. And I will show wonders in the heavens above, signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire, vapor, smoke, the great tribulation. He says the same thing here. He says over here in Matthew. Now listen. Listen, brother, sister, beware, he said, of that false prophet business. Beware of the dividing line where men can fool you, the age of great deception. Now hold your finger there and quickly go to 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, and notice, and for this cause God shall send them, God, not the devil, shall send them strong delusion. They'll believe a lie. Only the very elect cannot be deceived. All of this going on. Everybody's happy. The Roman Catholics, the Neo-Pentecostals, all getting the Holy Ghost. That dear old Pope, what was he named again? You're the tough old egg. Pius? Not Pius. Paul. Old Paul, what was he? Paul VI? Oh my, he kissed the Syrians. They were fighting over the gifts, you know. And now that the gifts are back in the Roman Catholic Church, and his great father, so-and-so, up here in Notre Dame, he said, now you people are wondering how the Holy Spirit feels in the Church of Rome. Why, he feels just at home. And in Geraldine Ford, I guess that's her name, or something like that. She's a Ford anyway. And she sure ain't no Cadillac. She gets up there as a theologian, and she lets the people know right flat, brother, sister, that don't you trifle with my theology. Then Pentecostal people, you hear these people speaking in tongues and prophesying and gifts and wonders and miracles, even greater than the Pentecostal church got, and they're kissing the Pope's toe and praying to Mary. Well, it's got to be real because that's the evidence of the Holy Ghost. God sending delusion. God, I said God, not the devil. God sends delusion. You know why? Because he turned down the truth. Now you say, well, how could God do it? Brother, sister, it's already done if you turn down the truth. How does God send strong delusion? By sending the truth. So when they turn it down, what do you got? Don't blame God. Okay, come and tell you, brother, sister. You don't pluck thistles and plums off of God. You just pluck plums. Apples, pears, and peaches, all manner of fruit with healing for the nation. See? Oh, yeah. Prolonged days. Look it over here. 37, 39, but as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in also the coming of the Son of Man. Days, the length of time, the present. How long is he going to be present before he raises the dead? 10 years, 20 years, 40 years? Yes, 100 if he wants to be present that long. But the people are all confused about 1977 and different things, Brother Branham said, because they can't understand this. It's a prolonged period of time. And then when Noah got in the ark, he slammed the door in 7 days. It just sat there. 7 days of darkness except for a little light inside. 7 days except God brought a little breeze in, like stifling and wondering, when's it going to happen? Do you feel like suffocating? Well, you haven't even caught up to Noah yet. We don't know. I said you, I said we. Victory. Listen, brother, 50. See, there it is. It's all laid out there, a prolonged period of time. It's all coming. It's all in order now. So therefore, we can stop at this point. I preached longer than I intended to. So attend your faith. You don't have to give me that hog to pay your own wages. And nobody has to go away too mad for too short a sermon or mad because it's too long a sermon. But I want to let you know, brother, sister, that the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ is not the rapture. It's what we're talking about. He is present and appearing down here. And then I want to take and show you next time, which I don't know when it's going to be. I want to take and show you the next time exactly how that appearing takes place and has been, and we're getting to the finishing line even more. Because this is what the Word of God teaches, and it is based upon the reality
of the Word being revealed to us and coming to pass in our hour, and God being gracious to send a prophet to stand back with the Word of God in his lips and prove that it is God. See, so we got no Word. And I just wanted that you remember, leave with this thought I just closed with a minute ago. It was a long time before that ark floated. And if they shut those doors, except for the grace of God, they were stifling inside. It was hot. It was miserable. And as Abraham stood there as a witness to the resurrection, which means your change in mind, he was in worse shape 1 minute before his change than he was in his whole life, brother, sister. We in his presence can be here a long time until we ripen, until we recognize his presence. But we're not recognizing his presence. We are not recognizing the appearance of the Lord Jesus, the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of these days, as Brother Branham said, as Brother Branham, they all say, one of these days it's going to be over. And then they're going to say, hey, what in the world happened? Look what's going on here. Should not have that happened. Should not have that happened. It already happened. And you didn't know. Let me say this, brother, sister, he is here. Not because I brought him in my heart and you brought him. That is a lie. That's been going on for 2,000 years, but he is here in the person of the Holy Ghost, setting himself as the head of the church. And until he can be the head, and that's why you women have an awful job with your husband. I'm going to tell you flat, because you type the church, and the church doesn't care that for the headship of Jesus Christ. I want to ask you this morning, and I want to know if you're in the same boat as I am. Are you not driven crazy day and night with yourself? I spit up words I should never spit up because I hate myself. I am battling everybody and everything, and I know I shouldn't be doing it for one reason. I know I'm telling the truth that he is here. And what am I doing about it? What am I thinking about? What is happening? And I say, oh, God. And I want to ask you this morning, where do you stand? I'm trying to condemn you. I'm not going to give an offer because you do what you want. God have mercy on all of us. I do what I want. I am no longer responsible for you, brother, sister, nor you for me. It's an individual walk at this hour. You do what you want. I'm going to do what I want. But I told you years ago, dirty old men are nothing but dirty young men that got old. Mean old women ain't nothing but mean young women that got old. Disobedient old hags ain't nothing but disobedient young hags. We've got three old hags, that's all. I'll lay right in the line. Look, don't kid me this morning, brother, sister. I ain't kidding you. If in one place I can kid up here and fool, I do it on purpose, maybe in my nature. I don't want to let my truth spirit get out. Like Francois Cotty said, why do you present that facade when you're not that guy inside? I'm that guy inside just talking this morning. Where do you stand this morning? Where do I stand this morning in the faces? See? Is there any elect out here somewhere? Is it a couple old women with a wash tub and a... That guy kidded about and said, I got to get me a wash tub and apron and a scrub board, maybe. Get that certain thing. I don't look at it. I love Billy Paul, but I don't care if he had to dream 19 cakes or 1,900 cakes. Don't give me that stuff. Don't give me anything about being a prophet's wife or a mother or a husband or anything else. Or anything about that my mother knew I was going to be born. What stood by her bed and told her? Why did the prophet say, I saw you coming to the flame of fire over here, the spirit of prophecy? I'll tell you, I'm true to this word, but I sure ain't true inside of what my mouth office says. I can't explain things. I got no answer for you. But I tell you, I got one hope. And that is one day God will answer back and say, yes, amen. I'm here for all the time that you said it with your mouth, but couldn't believe it with your mind, your heart as you should have, but you'd say it because you know it was there. You stood up for me. I'm going to stand up for you on it. And then when he does, and he offers and gives back to us what the divine revelation gave us, because we've got the same revelation, be that as he said, thou art with Christ. We've got no different revelation when he said that. When we say, he's here. But it took Christ to speak back and say, and I say unto you, you are a part of it. That revelation. Now, I've said some rough things. Some discouraging things. I'm saying the comforting thing now. Stay with it. There's no place else to go. If this isn't it, brother, sister, so what? What are you going to do about it? Where would you go back? Oh, for peace. Go back. Look. Get a letter from the Baptist headquarters every day. I heard more from them than I heard in 1 week than I heard from God in 70 years. Forget it. Go back to Pentecost. try to wear myself up working up something? At my age, working up something? Not even Bogomolitz's bone marrow shots are going to do me any good in my age. Didn't do Stalin any good. Work up something? Where are you going to go? Tell me, where are you going to go? Who's got 20-20 vision this morning? 20-20 hindsight. You know where you're going. Well, we saw something didn't you? I don't understand it all. Brother Brand said, when you're in his presence, you don't get angry, you don't cuss, you don't tell lies, you don't act up. And here, just the same. But you know what? It takes the recognition to do it. People are organizing prayer meetings for Brother Branham to come back. Look, I'm going to tell you something. I'd organize a prayer meeting around the world for people to say, God, help me recognize the presence of your presence today. Not the presence we talk about of Acts 2 and 4, Matthew 28 and 20. But I'm talking now about 1 Thessalonians 4 and 16 and Ephesians 1, 16 to 23. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Colossians 3 and 4, 1 Peter 5 and 4, right down the line. I'm not talking about those other things, brother. I'm not going to go to the scriptures quite there. I think I got some things to say. But I'm talking about the fact the Lord Himself has already descended from heaven with a shepherd. Coming more and more into His church. Making Himself more and more known. Brother Brown stood in that pulpit, and I said, I stand with him. Not like Brother Brown. Let's get that flat. But I stand with the spirit of William Branham, the sentiments of William Branham, the heart of William Branham, when he said as a man, and wanting to be a man of God, if we're not brides, there's a bride out there somewhere. And by the grace of God, I won't stand in that way. Lord, bless you. That's right. I want to keep him on. Merciful God, Heavenly Father, we know, Lord, that we would never be able to touch a subject like this concerning your appearing, your actual coming, the actual revelation of these things, except, Lord, it is because of something else that has been done. On my part, Lord, it would be presumption. It's even presumption, Lord, you can get here and talk about such a sacred subject, except you allowed me in my craft and carnal and the goodest ways to somehow be able to see these things and try to get the people to see them somehow, Lord. I know only you can make it really real. But in the meantime, Father, if I can contribute and have to the mechanical, I do not feel too bad, nor neither can they feel too bad, because they know unless God Himself raises the dead, they're going to lie there, and they're just as dead can be. This world is, and the dead people in the ground. But there is a God who said, I'll raise them at the right time. And Lord, you're here to raise them. And if you're here to raise them, then at the right time, I believe you're going to change the people that keep changing. I believe at the right time, Lord, you're going to have this great resurrection faith, which I know they will have, those that are going to belong in it. And so, Lord, I'm trusting this morning that you who have brought us yourself by your Holy Spirit and given us a man to walk amongst us who would be the sounding board, for that's what he was. That seven church age messenger to hear what he said and then break it down and bring it here. Lord, I have hope this morning that because of this very thing transpiring, it has not been, Lord, in vain, but we shall yet hear you say, and I say unto you that you are a part of that presence, that revelation. And then, Lord, what a great time it's going to be. The fountains of the deep will be broken up. Not just looking anymore for the hidden things to be manifested. The spirits, Lord, have already been manifested. But Lord, we're looking for that greater manifestation, that is, that Spirit of Christ in us. All those things, Lord, that reside in us by virtue of the fact what we're born with that seed. By virtue of the fact, Lord, of what the Holy Spirit has come to bring it to light. I'm looking forward to that hour, Lord. If I should be here upon earth living, and it's all right if I'm not. But I believe, Lord, there'll be a bride who is going to be that very essence of the Word, for the Word is becoming flesh, the flesh becoming the Word, and the Word itself coming forth is manifested Word. That bride that the prophet spoke of, that bride can only speak of, Lord, because of in your Word. I believe, Lord, there's people straight in this building that are going to be a part of that. Absolutely. I pray for all of them, Lord, to be a part of it. I pray that there's even for myself and my loved ones, Lord, to be a part. And God, and I have faith, Lord, in my measure of faith, looking forward to that day if we should get it.
But I believe, dear Lord, there'll be people standing right here who positively will be changed. And they'll have the answering call back, yes, you are what I say. And that's absolutely going to be fantastic. Lord, there's nothing that we can compare to you. Your word, Lord, your fulfillment, there isn't anything, Lord, anywhere near shape or form that would even begin to touch anything that we have just heard from your prophet and tried to lay out this morning, the goodness and mercy of God. Lord, how great is our God. How great is his word. Just nothing will ever touch it, every praise of God. Lord, I just pray that you'll give us sweet spirit of love and grace amongst all your people. Compassion, Lord, a spirit of obedience, a spirit of a humility. Lord God, in honor preferring each other, and in just being humble, sweet Christians, sincere. Lord, also we pray for the sick amongst us that might continue to heal, knowing that all things are of you. There's so many things, Lord, are said here, propitious for our healing. Until now, Lord, it would seem that there isn't one of us should be sick under any consideration whatsoever. It's just everything is so gracious and so good. And we thank you, Lord, for what you've done and what you're doing. We thank you, Lord, for how you've helped certain brethren that have been needing help, and sisters as well. It's been marvelous. And now, Lord, I just pray again as we go for every home here, that it may be the kind of a home that's in the Word. A home, Lord, that where the husband is the head because Christ is his head. It's just the same as the bride, Lord. And with you and me, and knowing that all things are of you, there's so many things, Lord, are said here, propitious for our healing. Until now, Lord, it would seem that there isn't one of us should be sick under any consideration whatsoever. It's just everything is so gracious and so good. And we thank you, Lord, for what you've done and what you're doing. We thank you, Lord, for how you've helped certain brethren that have been needing help, and sisters as well. It's been marvelous. And now, Lord, I just pray again as we go for every home here, that it may be the kind of a home that's in the Word. A home, Lord, that where the husband is the head because Christ is his head. It's just the same as the bride, Lord, with you and the bride. A real definitive outworking of the Spirit of God, Lord, where people just recognize that. We know, Lord, that is the prophesied recognizing, he said, but they weren't recognized. God, help us this morning to recognize. Lord, this morning may we recognize, starting right in our lives with the baptism with the Holy Ghost, recognizing in our homes where the homes lie, recognizing in the church where it lies, right up to the very head where we see Christ and beyond to Almighty God. Lord, I pray. That's what we want, Lord. That great theocratic kingdom, not just established on earth, but established in the church, in the home, and in each life. And that's not asking too much, Lord. Maybe it's asking a little bit too much to have all of it here on this side of Jordan. But I don't think it is, Lord. I don't think it is. I know it's not too much for the other side, but I believe there's a whole lot here. So we commend ourselves to you, O God. Give thee praise and give thee glory. And just thank you again. Humble us all down, Lord. Keep us at the foot of the old rugged cross. Because Lord Jesus, open heart and open ears, open mouth where necessary and pertinent, so that you get some glory. And we'll be careful, Lord, to praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing a little.